Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Whitfield Crane, and again, Whit has been a friend forever, man. You guys met him with this song. You remember this. Like, so he was traveling in an RV with the other guys, and I lived in a studio with a girl, and I ended up laying on the floor, like side by side by side, and we had only enough money for two packages of hot dogs, or three packages, and we boiled them all. Yeah, so the whole goddamn room smelled like hot dogs for like 3 weeks.
Yeah,
and we just ended up staying friends over the years, man. And he's one of those interesting people that I'm just happy to know. But, you know, some great, great songs. With Robert Trujillo on a Jaco Pastorius documentary, and there's another band he does called Mass Metal that's, see, so stuff like this, and it really is all. Of course, with Godsmack, they formed another animal, minus the Sully. That band was amazing at Rockfest that year.
There's my dreams, bloody dying face down.
A few years back, they released Uglier Than They Used to Be. Ugly Kid Joe got back together, one of my favorite bands. But it's always refreshing to me, and I guess almost like a relief when a band you love comes back with an album that's genuinely great, not just milking a name. Like it's really good.
Like,
one of those bands, they always surprise you with their ability. So this started. Where in the world is Whitfield Crane? And he is always all over the place. And it's always absurd. Like, I've had him reach out to me from the Rainbow in California to Spain and Portugal, from Germany, across the world, in Poland, touring, traveling, watching, learning, down in Australia with the symphony, out on an island somewhere. He was just in Thailand, I think, the last time we talked to him.
He's the handsome Where's Waldo of rock and roll.
Yeah, dude, he really wears wit. Yeah, exactly.
The world is a big place, full of many wonders. And there's one man who's dedicated his life to spanning the globe. From Amsterdam to the Amazon, New Zealand to Zimbabwe. We never know where he'll be sampling the world's pleasures. Which is why the Johnny Dare Morning Show presents...
Where in the fuck is
answer the eternal question, where's Whit? Is Ugly Kid Joe frontman, world traveler, and friend of the show, Whitfield Crane.
Are you there?
What's up, man? Good morning.
How are you? Good morning, my friend. If it is indeed morning where you're at.
Yeah, you never know. I know it's good morning there. You got a morning show.
Can't slide anything past you guys like you and I.
No. I'm a diamond.
Are you safe and sound?
I am, man. I mean, it's a trippy, it's an intense time.
It is.
For everybody around the world. So, yeah, I'm okay. You know, I mean, I tend to have a positive reaction to whatever, but this is a heavy whatever. So, you know, I'm just watching how it unfolds. And I'm trying to mirror the logic that is given to me through, you know, the media, through.
It's tough. Especially tough.
And it seems like that's like a moving target a little bit. So, scary.
Well, you, and especially a guy who has always traveled freely without borders, constantly. It is very hard for a guy to slow down and really settle in for an undetermined amount of time.
Well, I was talking to some of my heavy metal cohorts, and in a sense, we've all kind of been training for this for our whole lives because, you know, like, I can sleep in the day, no problem. And I can, you know, I can wait it out to go play a show or whatever it is daily. So, you know, sure, you're missing some of the components, but, you know, I'm pretty good at sitting and being. You know, I can, right. I love to go places and go witness what's out there. Of course I do. You know, I love doing that. But I can, you know, I'm pretty good at being in my own body, and you can stick me in a chair, and, you know, I can look at a tree moving in the wind, and I can just space out and look at that for hours. So I'm okay. Yep. I'm not, And plus, I'm grateful. I mean, my life's super good. So you watch a lot of the tragedy that's going on in the world, and, you know, you realize how blessed you really are. So,
well,
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Speaking of trees, the first clue, we'll see who can figure this one out. I've only got limited clues for this one before it gives itself away. You are in a city that is also known for having a tree that's over 1,000 years old still living in the town. Did you know that?
I love your clues, man. They're great.
Yeah, well, it's. I like to research places, man. You actually have just a couple of things that are going to make you laugh. I don't know if you know about the town you're in, everything you know. So why, I know, I'm trying to, I got to be careful how I phrase everything because I don't want to give anything away.
No, I got you.
So when you
are down, just this downtime. Are you writing or are you reaching out to people more? Because I got a video from you that made me laugh out loud. I don't know where a person could build.
We can talk about that. We'll talk about the video later. After it's all kind of, after we figure out where I am.
I know. Right? All right, here, let me give another clue, see if they'll do it. You know what? You're in a city that is home to one of the richest neighborhoods in the world. In the world.
That's true.
And the average income converted to American dollars is $119,124 per capita income. Yeah. So you're in a city with one of the richest neighborhoods in the world and one of the oldest living trees known to man.
Yes.
All right.
I think so. I mean, you would know. You're researching it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you, here's another really vague clue. You are in a city whose name was also the title of a film released in 2013.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me see here. Let's see.
What? Normally when we do the show, right, yep. You have people driving to work or what have you, or people are at work,
yep.
So no one's at work. This is the weirdest form of our little show here. So basically, whoever calls in is going to be at home.
Well, you know, actually, no. We get a lot of. We have a lot of people who needed to go to work who are considered, you know, that they need to
essential.
Go essential. So hold on, let's see. Hold on, let's take a call. Hey, you're on the air with Whitfield Crane. Where do you think he is?
Is he in Utah?
Hey man, what's your name?
My name is Joe.
Hey Joe, nice to meet you. We're not in Utah, but I wish you a pleasant day. You're rad.
Hey, thanks, Whitfield. You have a good day too, brother.
Hi, man.
Hey, Adam, you're on the air.
Hey, is he in Liverpool?
Whitfield?
Yeah.
Are you saying Liverpool as in the UK?
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, wow. What's your name?
Adam.
Adam?
Yes,
that is incorrect, but thank you for calling.
Oh, dang. All right, thanks.
What made you think Liverpool?
Ye old Google.
Uh-huh. I love ye old Google. It only works in the UK. That's great.
All right.
Good job, Adam. You rule.
Hey, Caitlin, you had a guest too? What was it, Liverpool? Are you there? Oh, Caitlin, are you there? Some girl was calling. Let's see what she said. Ron's there. Ron, what do you think?
I think he's in Encino.
He's
Am
not.
I correct? What's your name? Your name is Ron?
Ron, yes.
Okay, Ron, have you ever seen the movie Encino Man?
I have.
Well, it's a good movie, but I'm not there. Thanks for calling.
All right, here's another clue. Whitfield, we didn't get to finish the question I wanted to ask you. Is this a good downtime for you? Do you find yourself reaching out to people because you want to connect, or are you going inward and writing music?
I'm always kind of writing. I write in my head a lot, and if anything's good enough, I'll talk to the iPhone and I'll record in some facet. But yeah, we're always writing. I mean, right now, what we're really doing is we finished the Edward Cagillo record. We did that in Texas in November, and so the producer by the name of Mark Dodson, who actually produced America's Least Wanted, killer dude, English man. Funny enough, he is in England. He's out right outside of London in Wimbledon mixing the records. So what we're really doing, sure I'm writing and sure I'm, for sure I'm catching up with people and telling people I love them and seeing how everybody is. But, you know, we're getting mixes, you know, every week of whatever, just, you know, slowly formulating a strategy of the new UKJ record. But yeah, I'm checking in with people. I think that's a really important thing to do. Like, for me, I kind of witnessed it. I go outside and I, you know, kind of try to get my exercise or whatever. And so this is such a heavy situation for everybody. And I think it's important to have empathy for how anybody may react. You know, some people may react in a way that you might find unattractive or whatever it is, but it's understandable. So there's a lot of space for empathy right now for everybody.
No, and you have to remember that.
That includes calling people. Maybe you have beef with someone, and you can call them up and go, you know what, dude? That beef means nothing compared to what's going on. How's your mom?
Yeah.
You know, how's your pops? I know he's 83. You know, whatever the stories are. So... yeah, for me, it's a good time to just, you know, to catch up with people, to reflect on, you know, how weird life is. So, yeah, but I'm doing good. Writing crazy lyrics as always.
Yeah, well, and I think that there's if there's a silver line to any of this, it's for the first time in a long time, I feel like, in this country, that we at least all have a common enemy and we're walking in the same direction instead of everybody just pointing fingers at each other. I feel like the majority of us understand that we have a much bigger picture at hand.
I agree with you. And there you go. And it's weird. You know, we get a lot of mixed messages from different sources of is the doctor's name Fauci? Is that how you say
his
name?
Yeah.
He is great. He's worked under six presidents, so he knows what he's talking about. And that guy is a voice of reason. I think the governor for New York, he's just a really great speaker and a great leader. We get some mixed messages from the White House, but you know he's surrounded by great people. So you know all you can do is have a positive attitude, try to get some good information and react to that. You know, so
that's it.
It is a weird time, though, man. You know, my mom's 83.
I was getting ready to ask you
worry about stuff like that,
and I'm sure that she is safe. I know your whole family will take care of her, but is she dealing with the whole stay inside thing? Okay.
Yeah. Good. I mean, you talk to the old guard, and the old guard are hilarious. I love the older people. You know, like old people are hilarious that aren't embittered by life, but like they have so much wisdom and they're funny,
right?
And
right.
Whatever. So I asked my mom the real questions, you know, and I'm like, "Are you scared?" And she's like, "Not really." And I'm like, "Well, what are you scared of? Like, are you scared at all? You could tell me. What are you scared of?" And she's like, "Oh, I just don't want to suffer." So she's not really scared of death in general, but
you don't want
the drum roll and the actuality of how you go in this storyline if you happen to get this virus and go. It's not that fun. And go look at Italy. So it's pretty brutal. There's a lot to be wary about, and there's a lot of precautions to take. Like if you just have to sit on the couch and watch Netflix for the next month, I mean. That's not that bad.
I went and saw my great uncle Paulie at Leavenworth Cemetery. I was on a motorcycle, socially distanced, and of course, cemeteries are the most socially distant thing you can visit. And
that's right.
We sat there, and I've always gone to him and sat there over the years, you know, different times. And I started looking at the dates on his grave, and he was born in 1917 and died in 1996. Which means he was born into a world war, into the Spanish flu by the time he was two, which was a terrible epidemic that killed 50 million people in 25 weeks.
Yeah.
And then into the Great Depression, and then into fighting as a young man in World War II in the army, and then other influenza pandemics, the swine flu, SARS, MERS, all of it. And he made it. And he made it in fine style. He made it with a scotch in one hand and a blonde in the other. And
yeah.
He was always together and always had an answer. And I just thought, man, that's why I came out here today. That's all I needed.
That's nice, man.
Yeah. That's it. We'll be fine if we'll let ourselves be fine. And it's weird to see people get angry, and then you have to remind yourself that it's because they're afraid.
That's exactly right. Hence the empathy. So it's okay. It's okay to go, whoa. It's okay. Almost any reaction is okay. You know, I understand it. You know, you go to the grocery store for your one time a week or whatever, and you know people are tripping. You know, I was in the line at a grocery store recently, and there's this lady who she's moving awkwardly, but she was cool. You know, she would try a credit card and it wouldn't work, right? And then she kind of was embarrassed, and like in the checker was kind of looking at the line of people always in the line, like, oh, this lady's going really slow. But, you know, big deal compared to a pandemic.
Right.
She tried another credit card, right? And it didn't work. And you could sense that she was tripping.
Oh.
And then she's about to do the third credit card. You know, this is, a, you know, whatever. It just doesn't matter compared to, it doesn't matter in general. I go, hey. And I said, oh, you know, with a nice vocal tone in line, I go, hey, everything's cool. And we're patient and life is good. And she was so excited that I said that, and the whole line kind of like, you know, without, we all had our 6 feet, whatever we're doing, but we all collectively gave her good energy and she was able to not feel like she's holding everybody up. And actually, so we all, at that moment at least, had a synergy of like, we're all in this together, it's okay, take your time, use 8 credit cards, you know, whatever, we'll pay for your food, just, you know, have a radical day. So, you know, it's good to be helpful in any constellation, but especially now. Like, if you could be helpful or find a way to be kind in whatever, to your family, to the mailman. The mailman's still out there swinging mail, so, you know.
Say hi
and say thank you. I mean, it'll feel good for you. It'll feel good for everybody else.
Absolutely. What a great time to exercise some kindness. And not just the relief of her not being able to get her credit card through there, but the reminder that people are still good. And that's the thing I'm seeing and that I really love is I go, that's right. People are still kind and good. And that makes the whole thing much more bearable. Now, let me refresh the clues. 1,000-year-old tree in the city where he is at currently. More than 1,000. Did you know this, Whit? That you could if we weren't quarantined in that city, go to an octopus taxidermy workshop.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Have your very own taxidermed octopus that you did yourself. Yes.
It's specifically for octopuses. Do you say octopuses? What do you say? Octopi?
Octopi?
How do you say that? Anyway, the octopus.
Mm-hmm.
It's just for octopuses?
That's right. It's the focus is on the octopus.
Wow, dude. I'm all about it. I'm going to look into it.
Right, let's see what people think. Let's see. You're on the air with Whitfield Crane. Where in the world is Whitfield Crane, Jason?
He is in Savannah, Georgia.
Wow, Jason. Guess what?
What?
Guess what, Jason? Guess what, bro? It's not the right place.
Guess what?
Right. Good job.
Good
drum roll. You rule, bro.
Bill, what do you think? Where's Whit?
Hey, am I on?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I was going to say, I think it is octopi, whenever you were talking about. Really? Octopi? No, but check it out, Bill. If you say, let's say you have an aquarium and there's like 17 octopus in there. Do you say there's a bunch of octopi right there? You say there's 17 octopuses, or do you say there's a bunch of octopus in the tank? Probably octopus, huh? I think you'd still say octopi, though. I mean, because it's kind of like cactus.
Well, legally, cactuses is a word. You can win in any bar bet if you're ever drinking and you want to
try
it. Cactus is a word. It is an actual word. You'd be all, there are a bunch of cactuses in my front yard. That's a factual wording. And so is ironical. That's another word that doesn't sound right.
That's fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, I think that Whit is in Rockport, Texas.
My friend, we got to get to the bottom of the octopus, but that is incorrect, your guess of my geographical location. But I wish you well.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Hold on, because I'm getting ready to give away a couple clues that I think are going to throw the whole thing.
This is interesting, because it's pretty cryptic, dude. We're doing good. Good.
Yeah, it's, let me take this one. Hold on. You're on the air. Dennis.
Hey, Whitfield, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. Who's this?
This is Dennis. Hey, I'm thinking you're in Dubai.
Dubai?
Yeah.
Can I ask you this? Why do you think I'm in Dubai? What is
one of the richest neighborhoods in the world? And right. Then he said, when it's converted to American dollars, and I said, well, I don't think you're in this country. So just a guess, man.
About the 1,000-foot tree in the desert? What are you talking about?
He said 1,000-year-old tree.
But still alive.
Oh, okay, well, I don't know. Am I right or am I wrong?
I'm claiming this. And listen, I like your creativity, and I think Dubai would be a neat place to be, but I don't happen to be there. But I wish you well, my brother.
Okay, well, thank you, sir.
All right, listen, I'm going to give a hammer. Here's the hammer. Now, remember, he's in a city with one of the richest neighborhoods. He's in a city that hosts 1,000-plus-year-old tree still living. He's in a city that has an octopus taxidermy workshop. There was a movie released by the name of this city. And by the way, the name of this city, final clue, which we'll turn this one around.
I got a weird one.
Yes?
That I could say. Can I have a hint?
Please.
Can I throw a hint in there?
Please do.
Radiohead has a song with this town's title.
Very good.
Like a Radiohead song is this town.
Do you know the name? Do you know what the name means?
Who?
You Whitfield. What the name of the city?
Do
you're
I know
in?
What the name of the town means?
But yeah, what it translates to.
I think I do.
Well, you can give that clue. But that's my final clue. Let me take a couple more here.
Okay. I think it is. Tell me if I'm wrong. Is it Big Tree?
Yes, it is. It is Big Tree or Tall. Or Tall Tree. That's right.
Tall Tree.
What would you say, Jeremy?
Chicago?
Hey, Jeremy, what's up? No, it's not Chicago.
Not Chicago.
And I'm bummed that you didn't dye your river green this year. That was that was a bummer.
All right. Thanks, man.
Stay there.
Hey, rock on.
Hey, Jason, you're on the air with Whitfield Crane.
Hey, Johnny.
Yes.
Hey, he's in Clearwater, Florida.
not in Clearwater, bro, but good guess. Well done.
All right.
Thanks. Later, dude.
You're on the air. Ed.
Hey there, guys. I think Whitfield might be in Philadelphia.
You know, I'll tell you this about Philadelphia. If you've ever been in the train station in Philadelphia, it echoes awesomely, and it's a good place to sing Judas Priest, but I'm not in Philadelphia.
That's a good weirdo.
You have to understand, this is what's delightful for 30 years. It's just that good all the time.
Little bubbles of knowledge.
It's true. Have you ever made a sound in that, Have you made a sound in that train station? It is epic.
Not in Philly, but I've done it. I've done a couple of those domes where you can whisper against the wall, and then you can hear it on the other side.
Yeah, beautiful.
Also, when I sing Judas Priest, it's just not a pleasant for anybody.
I love Priest. Come on.
I love them, you know. What do we got?
I don't know if people are going to figure this out. What happens in our game if no one guesses it? Do we have to tell?
We would have to, but someone has to get it. I mean, think about it.
Hollow.
Tall tree. We've got a rich neighborhood in a city that is the richest neighborhood in the world in this city. We've translated it. We have given Radiohead. Do what?
Palo Alto?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's,
dude, what is your name? Ed.
Ed.
You are awesome, and you are correct. You're the keeper of the big tree, bro. Well done.
Yeah, well, I just kept crunching the clues together, and it all works out for Palo Alto.
Yeah, that's right.
You're the wizard of the day, dude. Rock on,
you are rock wizard of the day. Hey, and let me give you something to look forward to, man. Breaking Benjamin, Bush are playing August 29th. Ed, so by then, we've got to be out of this. Or do you want to go see the Black Crowes August 26th?
I do the Benjamin tickets, thanks.
I got them for you. All right, you're Rock Wizard of the Day. Stay right there, man. Don't go anywhere.
That's rad.
So you're in Palo Alto. You happened to be visiting. You were doing some business with, was it the wedding band? And then the song?
Yeah, last time I talked to you, I was in, I think it might have been the 18th of February when I talked to you, 18th mm-hmm. or 19th.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in Phuket. And then I flew from Phuket to Los Angeles. I went to Robert's. I stayed at Robert's house in Venice for 10 days. We rehearsed with the wedding band. Wedding band is like Kirk Hammett's in that. John Theodore's in that. Robert Trujillo's in that. I'm in that. Doc Coyle's in that. It's cool. It's a cover band.
Fun.
So we rehearsed for this gig, and the gig, what it does is it mirrors Kirk Hammett, who's a kick-ass guitar player and a really awesome dude. He curates like this thing called It's Alive, which you should look up on your computers. So it's called It's Alive. And it's all about monsters, like monster posters,
yes.
Just really, really cool stuff. And he's well versed in that. So it's in South Carolina. He curated once again, so you can go in to the museum there, and you get to see, you know, all his stuff. He shares it with the world, which is beautiful.
Really nice.
And the other side of that happening is that we, the wedding band, played a show in South Carolina on. March 8th, which, funny enough, was like the last freedom we all had, you know? That's that, and that was cool. Then I was like, cool, I'm going to roll from there, which I did, March 10th, to Palo Alto, where I am. So I flew from South Carolina. First, I flew from L.A. to South Carolina, South Carolina to wherever I am, Palo Alto. And I was going to stay for 3 or 4 days and say hi to my mom, say hi to everybody.
Yep.
And then I was like, cool, I was going to go train in Costa Rica before summer tour. And all of a sudden, my friends are like, "Dude, you're not going anywhere." And I'm like, "Huh? Why is that?" You know, I didn't. I haven't, and there's not even any place to go. And as we talked before in this interview, in this conversation, in the show, whatever this is called, is initially I was like, you know, whoa, you know, am I trapped? What does it mean? And you know, once again, I mean, my life is really good. I'm in a good space right now in general. So I was like, okay, I'll roll with this. And it's nice to see my friends and blah,
sure.
blah, blah. But in the end, objectively, what I've been able to do because of this, which is fantastic, is I go to my mom's house every day. She's 83. She's really cute. Her name is Lina. You should have a show with her. And I walk her around the block, and I bring her groceries, and I listen to her tales, and I ask her wisdoms. And so it's actually quite good that I'm here.
Yeah, man.
And it is really weird that, like, you know, we're all in these. It could be 2 months that we are all locked down. So, yeah, I'm happy to be here. How about you, Johnny? Are you at your disgrace land?
Yeah, every day I go out and die. So we just literally did a bunch of dirt work with the skid loader, moved some stuff around, got the driveway ready. We're going to put a gate up, this big disgrace land gate. Some dear friends of mine at a production company, DSS, have built this custom gate for me a couple years ago. I hadn't put it up because I was afraid a machine would hit it. And it's 18 feet tall. And these huge letters to say disgrace land in steel. And then it's got a couple guitars on the gate and the headstocks of a guitar with my initials in it and some flames. And it's the gate to end all gates. So we're getting ready to work on that social distancing. But, you know, just a couple at a time. And so go out there and walk around and feed the deer and the fish and the ducks. And
do you have, like, animals, dogs or anything?
Oh, well, I've got my dog, you know, Barger, that comes to work. And Elvis passed away a few years ago. And then Barge I've had, and he's 16 now. He comes to work every day with me. And out there, though, there's no house. But the ducks, That I move them in the winter. They have their own building, and every day I go clean out their swimming pool, and they get their worms, and so I house them until just about February is when those guys came out. And the deer every day come around, probably 9 or 10 deer come walking by, and you know it's nice to go out.
How's the soul of KC? Is everyone doing? I imagine you guys are really it's a powerful place. It's such a powerful chi there. Is everybody surviving and thriving and doing what they can?
72 or 73 degrees and sunny yesterday, and it changes everything. You know, see the buds on the trees. The wind is blowing a little bit. Everybody's out walking respectful distances from each other, but out there. And for the first time since we're all together, you do see families not buried in their phones, not buried into every other people. Like they're just together. You see kids and children and older people. Just everybody's families are finally talking again. And I think
that's hopeful.
Yeah.
That's good, man.
Yeah, it's really nice. By the way, we have to talk about your social distancing, and they've got these chairs spread out the front yard, I believe, of your sister's home. And
that's down the street. My sister does live. I'm in that area you're talking about.
So,
but no, great. That's on Dana Street. What I said, you can put that up. It's pretty hilarious. And so everyone's kind of losing their minds around the world, I would think. And so no one's said hello to anyone. No one's, you know, whatever pod of people you've been with. Like I've been staying with my sister, her husband, and my three nieces, and we're just in this house. And I visit my mom once a day. And that's it. I stand out of people's face, and that's what you're supposed to do. But recently, my friend called me, James, and he goes, "Dude, come over to Meat Hammer's house." And I'm all, "What?" He's like, "No, we're six feet apart." So in the front yard, which I guess you can show to the listeners,
sure.
In the front yard, everyone was 6 feet apart, and they're drinking their margaritas and being hilarious on a perfect. You know, Norman Rockwell Day, and without ruining it, look, I don't know if you could put that up on your, wherever you put it up, Johnny, but it's a pretty interesting thing. I can't explain it, but you can try.
Yeah, no, it's, you know what, I'll you know, I'll share it, then you guys have to go see it, because it's, they're just out there talking. Wit is, if they're sending, I don't know what the original video was for, because I assumed that you didn't know this was going to happen. And they're shooting a video as a message to somebody. And all of a sudden, the camera, you hear a noise, and the camera pans around, and this kid comes by, I don't know how old he was, maybe 16, 17 years old, in an armchair. Yeah. Only the armchair was motorized, and it's coming 20 miles an hour down the street, and he's driving a goddamn lazy boy down the street.
It's amazing. I mean, whoever that kid is, because in the middle of it all, because he is for sure, I mean, for your listeners, I mean, he's in a lazy boy chair with, like, I don't know, a lawnmower engine or whatever.
Yeah.
So he is 6 feet away from people. But, you know, if that's his reaction to everything, I mean, hooray for that guy.
Yes, right? Absolutely, man. No, that's the best
like
part.
You know what? You kind of remind me like a punk rock Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Right?
That's exactly what I'll have to load it now, man. It's so good. It's that's it, man. I've been out riding and to get a lot of good motorcycle time out in the country. And it's great, man. And, you know, you see things that give you a lot of hope and just remind you. And I'm out in the country. I was going to Disgraceland, but I decided to take a long route out further out. And there's a pond and it's a real nice field and there's a hill. And I see a kid on a bicycle coming down a path. And he's rolling along, about 8 years old, red bicycle, zipping along. And there's about a 4 or 5 month old yellow lab puppy, all fat, rolling down the hill. And it's straight, like you just said, Norman Rockwell. Like it's all that's missing is the Little House on the Prairie theme song queuing up. And it just really struck me as going, man, just everybody just ease up.
Remember Nellie Olson?
Despised her. What a mean little girl.
Remember her dad had the candy store.
Yep, I know. And did I ever tell you the story about getting beat by nuns when I was a kid?
You got beat by real nuns?
Yeah, so I had to go to Catholic school, which explains a lot. And I'm in, I don't know, fifth grade? And I'm going to St. Joe Catholic School in Hayes, Kansas. German Catholic nuns, meanest human beings. We're talking full penguin. And I can't get my desk shut on the top. It was a desk that lifted up. The lid
How
was.
How old are you?
I was maybe fourth or fifth grade.
Okay.
And so I can't get the lid shut on my desk. And she comes up. She keeps telling me to shut the lid. And I can't get the lid shut. And she starts whipping my ass. I mean, yanking my hair and hitting me with a ruler. And the worst part is, and this is where you just go, God, I'm being beaten because I have too many Little House in the Prairie, Little House in the Big Woods, Laura Ingalls Wilder books checked out of the library, and I can't fit them all inside this goddamn desk.
That's how you got busted for Little House on the Prairie?
Yeah.
Hey, you remember that magazine? It was like, I don't know if you got it. We're about the same age. Do you remember something called Bananas?
Sure.
Remember, like a magazine, it would have like Leif Garrett in it.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, you know what? With your nun story, this is my here's my little wizard part of the day.
Yeah.
I bet you love the movie The Blues Brothers, then.
Of course. Hey, listen, you don't understand. I'm a little kid being completely spun out by I'm an altar boy, and I'm getting beat by nuns, and the priests are actually nice, but I remember sitting there, and they're like, okay, now get ready, because you're going to go for communion, which means you're going to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Imagine that translation inside a little kid's head.
No, I can't imagine.
I was like, I don't want to go anymore. I finally went home. Oh, man, we're such weird little kids. We thought somehow...
Did you have to have a little outfit on? Like a little, like...
No.
Like a suit?
No. It wasn't... it was a public Catholic school. Like, you could just enroll. And so we had this old limestone building, and we were on the third floor, and we thought somehow, because of Catholic guilt, where you pulled your penis out to urinate, you couldn't be in trouble. Or you couldn't... A nun couldn't enter that. Somehow there was a barrier there, like not letting a vampire into your house. So we're chucking water, or the toilet paper rolls soaked in water out the window onto cars, picking up their kids, laughing like hyenas. And suddenly the door gets kicked open by Sister Mary Adolph, and she's beating our ass all the way, two double headlocks all the way to Mother Superior, who then they take turns beating us for a while.
What did you call her, Sister Mother Adolph?
Well, that's the name I remember. I'm sure it's not her real name.
I like that. It's a good name. Wow, that's brutal.
Yeah.
But you remember it.
Yeah.
Storytelling
tool. Yeah, no, it's. I'm a recovering Catholic. It explains a lot about my choices.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I like that, man.
And
then how's everyone at the station itself? I was talking to...
Jake.
To what's his face? Before, and he's like, is everyone okay?
Yeah, dude, Jake is good. Greg is good. Nikki is good. T is good. Everybody, we're the last live show on this radio show.
Are you guys in the proper studio right now where you always are?
Yeah, we couldn't do it any otherwise. I've heard people try to do it. There's just too many moving parts and pieces on this thing.
And how does that affect, like nation, because I don't even know, like nationwide, are there some radio stations that... Close down?
Yeah. I mean, their voice tracking, or like our sports station now, since there's no sports, they just run Fox Sports on that. News is all done from separate locations. Mostly, there's some morning shows on here at this intercom multiplex, but the rest of the day parts are all at home or doing their shows from other locations.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, you're kicking ass, man.
Well, you know what? This is the best time. This is, like, you calling in and sharing what you're doing, or, you know, every actors, musicians, it doesn't matter who. Like, it reminds us we're all in this together, and that we're all doing the same thing, and it's going to be fine. So that's really...
It is going to be. I mean, everything will turn out fine, and there's, you know, it's so intense. It's a perfect place to, you know, pivot and become, you know, really.
Yes.
It's a really weird thing, because everybody, not... You know, just like in your normal life, like let's say I'm in my life and I have a car. Let's say I have a car, which, you know, I don't really have a car. But like, let's say I have a car and someone keys my car and I'm mad. I'm like, I can't believe someone keys. Well, that's my little private, weird bubble life, right?
Right.
But nobody really cares, and it just doesn't really matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this thing across the world, I mean, all the economies have stopped at once, so everybody's life is, as you said in the beginning of this conversation, is you know, we're all the same right now. And everything is stopped, so it's a wonderful time. I mean, it's a brutal time, but it's a wonderful time to figure out, to regroup what you're doing in your life and see which direction you want to walk when you can walk again.
Yes.
So that, you know, as you say, silver linings, right?
Yep. I love you, man. And be careful. Be safe.
I will.
And when this is all over, we'll definitely have to get together and grab LeJean. I've been getting texts from him. He's doing well. His family's well.
I love LeJean, dude.
So, everybody, just, and I can't wait to hear the new UKJ. When you're ready to share something on or off air, man, please send it to me.
You know I will. All right. Much love to KC. You're awesome, Giants.
Love you, brother. Did we ever hear in the audio of when he met the conductor for the Australia Symphony, and he talked him into using the whole symphony, and they sold this place out, their giant, you know, symphony hall, doing Sabbath and Ugly Kid Joe with wit singing, but with a symphony?
No.
In front of this giant crowd?
No.
Oh.
Has he lost his mind? Can he see or is he
Peace.
That
sounds amazing.
Because he doesn't have a you can't do that filter. He doesn't. He just.
When these moments happen, I love these because it makes so much sense.
Yeah,
like when they cover Kashmir in different songs.
And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. Well, the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know where. We'll get together there. You gonna have a good time. Whitfield Crane, Orchestra of Doom.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.